Now, the lure of train hopping was too strong for one of our own staffers. In a former life, our web editor, Laura Conaway, and her brother both were seduced by the sights and sounds of the rails. And in this Best Song in the World Today essay, Laura explains why the experience is an everlasting one.
I haven't been on nearly as many trains as William Volman. In Riding Toward Everywhere, he writes about a world of violence and addiction by the rails. I've never passed through those junctions. But I have been inside a boxcar, and I've seen the world that way. If you ever climb into a coal metal car and you feel the wheels ka-chunk into motion, that sound and the sights that go with it of the countryside appearing and disappearing frame by frame, they're going to haunt you for the rest of your life. And let's face it, trains haunt us anyway, even from a distance. They certainly haunted Hank Williams.
I was riding number 9, heading south from Caroline. I heard that long wah, wah, some whistle blow.
Trains show up all over our music. I hopped my first freight with a friend in New England a couple years after college, and my brain has never been the same. Being on a freight amplifies your experience of your own mind, sort of the way a drug might, or wearing headphones on a walk around the city, except that it's real. You really are in the boxcar. You really did slip past those kids playing touch football, or that moose, or that dog that's running to catch up with the engine. If you see the world that way, you can't unsee it. You'll plead with God for another chance at it.
I heard that long wah, wah. Some whistle blew.
So I told my kid brother Brian, and he started wanting it.
All aboard! Let's go!
I should have realized how strongly trains pull on kids, too.
Casey Jr.'s coming down the track, coming down the track with a smoky stack. Hear him puffing, coming round the hill. Casey's here to thrill every jack and chill.
I ended up raising my brother for a good part of his childhood. Right about the time he hit 11 or 12, Brian took to the rails, and I mean really took to them. He'd go missing around supper time, and then in the morning we'd get a call from some police officer in some little town. I'd drive and go pick him up, and he'd come out with his backpack and all these pots and pans he'd tied on the back of it clattering. We'd throw it in the station wagon and then drive home with me pounding on the dashboard and hollering at him the entire way. Yet whenever he went away for summer camp or a visit home, I got another chance to catch out.
Train conductor says, take a break, driver, wait, take a break, we've been on the ship long.
My brother soon surpassed me in freight riding. Brian was super young and a guy, and he had a lot less to lose by crossing the border into Canada on the roof of a round-hole hopper. One time we were at a summer stock production of Hamlet, and just at the grave scene where Hamlet jumps up with that skull in his hand, a train came blowing through the night outside. My head turned toward the sound, and I felt my brother grow tense beside me, each of us knowing firsthand the junction it had passed through, only him knowing firsthand the one where it was heading. I was stuck with dreams of trains. My sleeping hours overflowed with images of families riding along in boxcars outfitted with living room furniture.
Will there be any trains in heaven? Any boxcars in which we might hide?
Toward the end of our time together, I took Brian for a physical with a new doctor. The office was in an old train depot, and we walked in to find an enormous map of the U.S. freight system. My brother stopped. We stared up at it, taking in the information, the possible rides. I asked my brother if he ever dreamed about freight trains. He kept his eyes on the rail map and told me, all the time, all the time. I'll bet anything William Volman sees trains in his sleep, too, now that he's been on so many and published a book about them. And so, William Volman, you strange and wonderful writer, I dedicate to you a strange and wonderful song, the best song in the world today, Robin Hitchcock's I Often Dream of Trains.
I often dream of trains when I'm alone. I ride on them into another zone. I dream of them constantly. trains when I'm awake. They ride along beside a frozen lake, and there in the buffet car I wait for eternity, or Basingstoke or Reading. I often dream of trains till it gets light. The summer turns to winter overnight. The leaves fall so suddenly. The sun sets at 4 o'clock. Exactly what I'm dreading.
That's Robin Hitchcock, I Often Dream of Trains. Our entry of Best Song in the World today, that was submitted by our web editor, Laura Conaway, and that piece was produced by our director, Jacob Gans.
Maybe we'll meet one night.
And just in case you were wondering, in that wonderful piece, which was quite music rich, first of all, yes, Laura is from the South, Alabama. And the other songs we heard in there, what did we hear, Rachel?
We heard some really good stuff. We heard Hank Williams, Lonesome Whistle. We heard Casey Jr. from the soundtrack to the Disney Dumbo. Remember that film?
R.E.M., Driver 8, one of my favorites, as well as Trio, meaning Dolly Parton, Emmylou Harris, Linda Ronstadt, Hobo's Meditation.
And we also heard the best song in the world, Robin Hitchcock, I Often Dream of Trains.
As we get ready to rumble with some politics and a little bit of cubicle culture about messy offices, we leave you with a little bit of Hank Williams, Lonesome Whistle. Join us on the other side of this quick break. We are the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.
My darling's heart. I guess I was too young to know. They took me off the Georgia main. Locked me to a ball and chain. I heard that long wah wah, some whistle blow.